Tonight we're going to go over it one more time. I've only got one more sermon here, but there's a lot in the Bible. We could preach three or four more, really, seriously. There's a lot in the Bible about water and baptism and, see it as a spiritual bath, amen? Let that cleansing come. And if we'll put our faith out there, there are other things that we do in the natural, don't we? How many have ever seen somebody anointed with oil? That's just the natural, isn't it? It's a type of what? The Holy Spirit. But when we put our faith to it, healing, there's an explosion. Healing takes place. And it's the same thing when we get baptized. If we'll put our faith in what Jesus already did in our heart, boom, there can be a spiritual release of things that have been trying to hang on to our life. Maybe it's fear or worry or anxieties or maybe it's, other things, smoking or chewing or any of those things. Amen. Could be physical, could be mental torment. You can let that go. We can say, Lord, I'm getting baptized. I'm going to let it go. Because why? It is a symbol of us, what? Dying with Jesus. How many died with Christ? Amen. And you go down in death, but you're going to come up, what? Into the newness of life. A new life has come. And sometimes there's things that we can face in this natural world. Sin abounds. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. We've mentioned some things, but I want us to get our faith out there. How many people? Here we saw in Matthew 3 last week where people were being baptized by John. Yet they were not born again yet. What happened? Matthew 3. Let's look at verse 11. It said, John said this. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I want you to hear those words when you're baptized on Sunday afternoon. We're going to hear those words. He's going to say, You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Jesus was here and he was showing what was to come. He said, Yes, there's a baptism unto repentance. What were they repenting from? They were repenting from following after the law. They're repenting from, he said to John, Hey, we can change some things, but what is really happening here? It can, I can turn away from some of these things, but John, what's the significance? I still have that sin nature in me, but this was a type and shadow of what was to come. The significance, importance of what we will see in just a minute. Right here, the significance of what Jesus was going to do. They were foreshadowing what was going to come on the inside of their heart. And they were saying, yeah, I'm going to get in on that. Because many of the Jews, they didn't think they needed to repent. They had the law. They followed the law. They didn't think they needed to repent, be baptized. So this is supernatural. This is what's happening. There's a change of covenant taking place. And Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go all the way to the end. I'm going to be buried and I will be raised again. Hallelujah. I'm going to rise again. Not only am I going down into death, but I'm coming up. Woo! Glory. And how many know he conquered sin, hell, and the grave, sickness and disease? You could even be healed in this baptism if you'll put your faith out there. Amen. There's steps that we could take in the natural that bring a spiritual significance on the inside of us. And there could be a release of God's greater power within you. Hallelujah. Woo! I know you're already changed. I know you already have these things, but we're going to decrease some things. We're going to declare some things, not just to you, but to the whole world, to everybody, and to the devil, and to God. I'm sealing the deal, Father. I've been born again. Woo! I've been changed. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. You know, maybe you're hooked on something. You want to be set free. You could be baptized and leave it down under that water. Let that water cleanse you. You can come up a free person. Hoo-hoo! That's not going to be a part of me anymore. I'm going to get that stinking thinking out. I'm going to let it go. Amen. I'm going to get my mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we do a lot of things by faith, don't we? How many were saved by faith, grace through faith? Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Did you see something happen? Maybe you didn't even feel anything, but you believed what the Word of God said. I confess with you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you are raised from the dead. I am saved. Hallelujah. How many people did that? And sometimes what? Our feelings catch up to us later, maybe in a day or two. Maybe it wasn't right then. Maybe they hadn't caught up to you yet, but they are. Amen. And you knew that you were cleansed. There came a time, you know. Hallelujah. Maybe you went from a frown to a smile, we said, but, you know. But how many know you didn't gain all your hair back? You didn't lose all your hair either. Amen. Nothing physically just changed. You didn't lose 100 pounds. Now, some people claim they did, but I've never really seen that in the Bible. I don't see where there's supernatural weight loss. I do see where we crucify the flesh. We deny the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Now, how many of you have ever taken Mark 11:23 to heart? Who knows what that says? Amen. We know what it says, don't we? Where we what? Believe and we say something, right? Mark 11:23. Let's look at that for a minute. I'm going somewhere with all this. I want us to see that just because it's a physical act does not mean that there's something in the spiritual realm that can take place. Because he said here, verse 22, Mark 11:22 says this, "For Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Or the God kind of faith, right? "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Amen. Now, how many people have ever started saying something? You got the hold of the Word of God. You begin to believe God. You know, and maybe you didn't see anything the first day, that first moment, right? And there was a time, and there was some time, and you kept believing God, and you kept saying, "I've got that. I believe you, Father. I am free. I believe you, Father." Hallelujah. Whatever it is, maybe it's a car, maybe it's a bicycle, maybe it's something else that you needed, and you're trusting God. "I thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you." Hallelujah. But when you speak God's word, we believe what we say we have. We believe that the only thing we see in the natural sometimes is our spit and our breath. Sometimes that's all you see. You don't see anything here, do you? No. Where is your faith? It's from the heart. You see it on the inside first. Okay? You know, if I'm believing for a bicycle, hey, don't you see my bicycle? In the natural, you don't see it, do you? But we can say, hey, I'm pregnant with it. I'm going to have that. It's on the way. Why? Because I've asked God for it, and I have what I say. See, faith is involved, and it's involved in everything of our life. It's part of what we do. We know that. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We've learned that, right? Romans 10:17 says, what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we let the Word of God, Romans 10:17, that's part of what we do. So when I speak the Word of God, and I believe that as I hear, faith comes. Amen. We believe faith is coming. Did you see anything come? You know, I didn't see anything. I just heard the Word of God. I didn't see something come down from heaven into my heart. I didn't see me change. I didn't feel anything. No, you didn't. Well, Scripture says that faith comes what? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Now, how many of you have ever, you know, we accept that because we accept that when our goal should be to hear as much of God's Word as possible and put it what? Into our heart. We're going to have what we say. When God's Word is in our heart in abundance and we speak it out of our mouth, how many have ever received anything from God? Maybe a healing. Maybe it was something that you were dealing with. Something that wanted to hang on in your life. But you kept speaking God's Word. I'm blessed. I'm free. I'm prosperous. God's blessing me. Or God's healing me. I believe that I've received what? Healing in my life. Not by what I feel or see, but by what the Word of God is. And one day you woke up and every symptom's gone. Amen. And maybe you felt it leaving. Maybe you didn't. It's not about what we feel, but what we believe. And we're putting our faith into some of these other things as well. Amen. How many know that 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, he that what speaks in an unknown tongue. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks what? Not to men, but unto God. Amen. We don't speak to men, but we're speaking to the Lord. How many have ever done that? In here? I think everybody in here has. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. If you speak in tongues, are you edified? Are you built up? Now, sometimes I speak in tongues and I don't feel built up. Sometimes I'd feel worse. Wow, how long did you speak in tongues? Like 5 hours. And all I felt is my tongue, my throat is dry, my tongue's tired, and I'm wore out. I don't know if I can pray anymore, Lord. Oh, Rabbah Sheba Hasara. And we do. We can pray. I can pray as long as I desire to, or as long as I choose to. He is always ready. But how many know that is by what? Faith. It is the faith of God that we release, even though we may not see anything. Hallelujah. We are still edified. Jude 20 says we're what? Building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now here's another one. How many ever begin to worship God? How many know that Psalm 2:8, what does it say? Amen. That God stills the enemy, doesn't he? Amen. Let's look at Psalm 2:8 real quick. I want to make sure I speak it right. I was wrong on a part of that other one. So, Psalm 8:2. Hallelujah. Roko Bahasi. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord. We want to see out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has the Lord ordained strength or praise because of thine enemies that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Amen. Hallelujah. He stills the enemy and the avenger. And it's quoted over in Matthew 21. Hallelujah, Jesus. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for that praise. I don't remember the exact verse right now. I didn't write it down. It's over in Psalm 21. But when Jesus quoted from this, he said, it perfected praise. And God has said that when we praise, we still the enemy and the avenger. And that word still means to stop, inhibit, to put an end to. God says, what I have done is that when you begin to praise and worship, in the midst of that praise and worship, God, what? He begins to come and we put an end to the enemy's work. We still him. We stop him. The enemy cannot continue. We begin to worship God. And yet, sometimes we don't see anything. It doesn't look like anything's happening. Sometimes we don't feel like anything's happening, but how many know? Our faith is in what God has said. And what God said, we can have. Hallelujah. We can walk in that. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, what did he say? He said that we're to go into all the world. Matthew 28. Because this was not the command or a suggestion of Jesus. Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. He's getting ready to go home. He's getting ready to go back to the Father. And Jesus came, verse 18 of Matthew 28, and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus himself was baptized, wasn't he? He said, go and baptize them. There's a purpose. There's a reason. We went over several places in the New Testament where they were saved and they were baptized. Remember when Philip, he got them born again. He got them baptized. Amen. And then Philip went to the eunuch, and the eunuch says, what forbids me to be baptized? And many, many times, remember when they went to Cornelius' house, they were saved, the Gentiles began to be saved, and they were baptized. And we remember when Paul and Silas were in prison, and the jailer got saved, and all of his servants, his whole house, it wasn't just his family, you know, but they had several people in his house that heard the gospel. They were born again and they were baptized. Many times throughout the Word of God, they continue to baptize people. And it is possible that being dunked in water, even though it is an outward act, that in the process of doing this is creating something in the realm of the Spirit that can change our lives. There could be a change in the realm of the Spirit. The very fact that Satan has worked so hard against it should give us a clue. There's so many people, they've got different ideas of what does that mean. But the word, what, baptismo or baptizo in the Greek means to submerge, completely be surrounded by, completely underwater. That's why in our church we don't sprinkle you. I'm not God, and I don't think, you know, I think God looks more at the heart than anything else. But he said to be baptized, be submerged. And Jesus gave us the example himself. He said, I'm going all the way to the place of death. And what's going to happen to you is you're going to die with me. I'm going all the way to that place. I'm going all the way until I am raised to the newness of life. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus, and he entered into his ministry and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And sometimes when we have things in our life, how many people, you ever went, maybe you went through the wilderness, or it seemed that way. But Jesus was led right into it. And so there can be a power that's released, creating something in the realm of the Spirit that can change in our lives when we will believe God. Let's go to the Old Testament for a minute. I want to look at a couple of places back here, and you'll see there are some things that were going on, even in the Old Testament. It's talked about even in the New. Exodus chapter 14, and I want to start verse 21 here. And this is where they had the crossing of the Red Sea. How many people remember what happened in Egypt? They were under what? Persecution of the king, of the Pharaoh. He's not going to let them go. So there was 10 plagues, and finally Pharaoh gave up and gave in. I mean, I'm sure all the people were tired of the plagues as well. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm sure the frogs stank. I'm sure the lice was miserable. I'm sure every plague was terrible. And finally, their firstborn was killed. If there was not blood upon the doorposts, amen. How many know you put blood on the doorposts here and you put it on those, you know, they would put it on the side. How many know it's going to drip down? Right down as a type of the blood of Christ at the cross. And their firstborns were saved. But here that Pharaoh finally said, okay, you can go. How many know they were free? They were set free. You know, many of the Egyptians, they started giving their jewelry to them and their gold and everything else, and they had abundance of money. And everybody was healed. There wasn't a sick person among them. And they head out, and yet, how many knows what happened? The enemy came after them anyway. Even though they were free, they said, oh, what have we done? And they're going after them. And they come up to the Red Sea. It's not looking good, folks. The Red Sea is behind them. The Egyptians are coming after them. It is not a positive situation in the natural. And sometimes when we look in the natural, that's when we've got to look up, amen, to heaven. When it looks impossible, there's still possibility with God. And the Bible says in verse 20, 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Amen. Imagine that. Whew. I mean, if you just went down to Lake Erie, it'd be quite a feat. Amen. The waters divided all the way across, and it's dry. You got water on one side, water on the other side, dry land to go through. And Moses is leading these 2 to 3 million people through that water. That's not, how many know that's a lot of people? Whew, my goodness, have you ever seen 1 million people at once? Just 1 million. They've had some of those, and I mean, as far as you can see, you can't see the end of it. If you're standing in front of them, it's difficult to see the very end. And one reason that God did this was not just to get them across, but also to deliver them from the enemy that was trying to destroy them. There was an enemy coming after them. Anybody ever have the enemy come after you? Amen. And the enemy was coming to destroy them, to attack and destroy. So God parts the waters. They pass in between the wall on the right and the left, and the Egyptian army is, they tried to follow, and we all know what happened, right? What did happen? Hallelujah. Well, verse 23 says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and the troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels that they drove them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out their hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. Hallelujah. And the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Oh, hallelujah. It says 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and were remembered not so much as one of them. Every enemy disappeared. Hallelujah. Woo! So the waters crashed over on top of them, and they didn't see that army ever again. Even though they had been set free from Egypt, the enemy was still trying to destroy them. How many know you've been set free? Egypt was a type of what? Sin. You've been set free from sin. And how many know sometimes our enemies still try to attack us? Amen? Sometimes they try, but they don't have the power. Hallelujah. Even though they had been set free from slavery, the enemy is still trying to kill them. He sent the whole army, all those people after them. And when the waters covered the enemy, they never again had a problem with that army. Not ever did Egypt's army be able to come after them. Never again. They were totally set free. Now I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. I want to draw a little bit of picture that the Bible draws here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. I think I said second. I get those mixed up sometimes, but all right. Here it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. How about that? Here he is referring to this crossing of the sea as a baptism. A type where what happened? The waters came together and destroyed all the enemy. Can you see yourself? See, they had not yet, they were not actually in the water, but they were not yet born again either. But you've been born again. Can you see yourself going down and letting those enemies stay under that water and you come up free? Hallelujah. You come out free, and they were dancing before the Lord. If you remember, when they're enemies, the Lord has what? He has thrown our enemies into the sea. He destroyed them. Miriam got the tambourine. They begin to rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look what the Lord hath done. And now we also see something else that happened. Now here they went through the water. But let's look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 for a minute. I'm just showing you a couple of things because really this is not something new. This is something that God has used through the ages where there was a washing away, there was a destroying of the enemy, there was a cleansing, a bathing, a freedom that took place when these things begin to be. Hallelujah. How many know the story of Noah? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 5. chapter 6, verse 5, excuse me. It says here, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Whew, that must have been a wicked time. It was only evil continually. And then if we look here in verse 8, it says that, "But Noah, he found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord." Okay, because it repented the Lord. Let's back up a minute. Verse 6 said, "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace," or favor, "in the eyes of the Lord." How many know? Grace, unmerited favor. That's one of the definitions. Amen. He found grace in the eyes of God. Noah. And it goes on to say, let's look at verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So the Lord has determined. He said, "I'm going to destroy them, Noah." But Noah found grace. And what did Noah have to do? He built, of course, the ark. We all know that. It was a huge ark. No one had ever, I don't think they ever had an ark on the earth that I know of. Especially not out in the middle of nowhere. There was any water around that I know of. I didn't hear of any water where Noah went swimming in the afternoon to cool down. Anybody hear that? I didn't see that in there. But there was a command from God, and Noah, by faith, began to build the ark. And he built it because God's saying, there's what? There was wickedness all around Noah, all kinds of it. But yet, verse 17 says this, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall," what? "Die." That's right, it's going to die. Very good. And when we went with Jesus into baptism, we die to the flesh, to all the evil that is in this world. And we actually pass from a person of Adam, and we're coming out a son of the living God, a species of being that you were created already that didn't exist before, that was changed on the inside. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over here for a minute to 1 Peter chapter 3, because he talks about this exactly. He said, well, how does this apply to baptism? Well, we'll see here in Peter, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, beginning at verse 18, it says, "For Christ also, who has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that was eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure," verse 21, "whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Here he's saying here, he said this was a figure, a type of baptism that Noah took place, where there was a cleansing, a washing away of all evil He said, not just the flesh, but also of the conscience on the inside of us was changed. And he had to get rid of all the evil, because why? It was evil continually. And God brought a baptism of washing. It took it away. And he said, I'm going to save out of that water. I'm going to bring Noah and his family, and I'm starting again with a righteous people. He said, I'm not going to hold that sin. Now, were some of these people saved in Noah's day? I believe many of them probably were. They were crying out to be saved. Don't you think they cried out when the rain came and the floods were overtaking them and the fountain of the earth opened up? And they were being drowned. I think many of them did cry out to the God. Many probably repented. And here he says that Jesus preached to them. And I believe they had that opportunity. They were probably born again. Many of them may have been born again. But they were bound. They were in evil continually until the flood really came. They were probably making fun of Noah. You know, the vacation destination. You know, come see the old fool build the ark. He looked foolish. It didn't look like it was God. But God used that, and he brought a baptism in the earth. So Noah's a type of baptism. Noah was surrounded with problems in the flesh. The hearts of men were evil. Violence was upon the earth. Everything they did was wrong. Their hearts were wicked, what? Continually. And Noah, it's time for you to be delivered from this influence. And sometimes there are influences all around us, and it's time we be delivered of that influence. Jesus has delivered you. Let your faith be put out there. When I go under that water, I'm going to be raised to the newness of life. I'm going to leave that old influences behind me. I'm not going to be bound by that influence anymore. I'm going to let those old friends go. I'm going to let my flesh be washed. I'm going to let my life be changed, because I'm coming up a new man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What happened on the inside of me when I was born again, I'm going to decree. I'm going to take a step into that water, and I'm coming out free. For what has been is not what shall be. Because I make a decision, and with my faith I lay hold of who Jesus is in me. The crucified one. I was crucified with him. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ shall live in me. Oh, glory to God. Do you see some power in the baptism of God? Oh, Lord Jesus. I didn't realize it was so much in the Bible. I'm serious. I mean, you know, you see it, and you know, you've read about it, but I never really, you know, when you really start putting it all together, I thought, man, there's more and more and more, and there's even more I can preach on. Hallelujah. And maybe one day we'll get there. But praise the Lord. This is for today. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here that, you know, they came out of Egypt, and God had set them free. They're no longer slaves to the Egyptians, but the enemy was still trying to destroy them. And, you know, they came out, but Moses, what? Here is what we're going to do. When you pass through the water will crash over the Egyptian army and will destroy them in the water. And so something happened, see, when they went through that sea, and something took place when Noah and then they were raised above the water, but yet the water still washed away all of the evil around them, and they were free. They hadn't had those influences anymore. And something happens when we are baptized in water. We may go down with a problem, but when we understand and go under the water by faith, just like when we begin to confess the Word of God, just like we did when we begin to pray in other tongues, just like we did when we begin to confess God's Word over our life, and when we receive Jesus as Savior, our faith was released. Just like we begin to do that. We didn't see anything in the realm of the natural, but something began to happen in the realm of the Spirit when we speak the Word of God, when we trust God. A natural action created something in the realm of the Spirit, and God began to work because faith was released in what God had said. I will let the waters of baptism wash over me. I'll never again struggle with this thing in my life. What could it be? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it pornography? Those are outward things. What about fear or oppression? What is it inside of you? Is it mental torment? By faith, I'll never struggle with this again. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to be the same. I've made a decision. I'm going to release my faith because I was what? Baptized. Just like we were baptized into Christ, we were raised to the newness of life. We recognize the emphasis that God is putting on baptism, and by faith we trust God that when we go down, I'm leaving that problem buried and coming up without that problem, whatever it may be. Think about it this next few days that we have. Write it down on that paper. Take that paper with you. And when you go down, you just say, I'm leaving it down there, Lord. Whoo, you're going to come up and yeah, you have a wet paper, just throw it away. Nobody needs to know. Nobody has to know what it is. Jesus knows. You know. You can bring it to the Lord. And maybe you didn't even write it down. You can still have it in your heart. Amen. You think about what it is I'm laying down. What am I going to leave under that water? What am I going to die to this time? God says, excuse me, I set you free from that problem. Why don't you, by an act of faith, just like when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just like when you began to confess the Word of God, just like when you began to pray in other tongues, just like when, hallelujah, amen, we begin to hear the Word of God and faith begin to come. By faith, there's something that takes place in the realm of the Spirit because God doesn't put this in His Word over and over again for no reason. He placed baptism in the Word of God over and over and over again. And we can take that to the bank. There's a spiritual something that takes place when we are baptized on the inside of us, and we can be made free. Let's get a vision. Habakkuk 2:2, what does it say? Write the vision down. Write my instruction to you. Deliverance takes place. You know, sometimes he said, write the vision, Habakkuk. Now, in this case, we're writing the vision. What do I want to be free of? What am I really, what is holding me back, Lord? Maybe write it down on that paper, and let's get ready, because we are free. We are sons of the living God. We were baptized with Him, like it says. Let's go over to Romans 6. I'm not going to say I'm closing yet, but we are coming down here to see, because really we're building to what Jesus has already done. He prophesied it when He went into that water. I'm going to death. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised to life. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit empower me. And when you do the same, He's going to empower you. And there's going to be a strength that comes on the inside of you that you didn't have before. Because I am decreeing, I am a son of God. I am a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am free because I live in Him and He lives in me. Hallelujah. How many know greater is He that's in you than he that is in this world? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are doing something. We're identifying with Christ. And what does that mean, to identify with Him? It means our complete union with Him in His substitutionary sacrifice. What He did for us, we were unified with Him. Hallelujah. I've been crucified with Christ. That means we identify with Christ in His crucifixion, in His death, right? He died. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I suffered with Christ. I was made alive with Christ. And now I am seated with Him. Amen? And this little preposition with is a key that's unlocked truth that is of vital importance for us. We can realize here, even in Romans chapter 6, hallelujah, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried, what? With Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because you were raised from death to life by the glory of our Heavenly Father, and you've been born again. You became a son. You became a joint heir. You are more than what you think you are. Hallelujah. It's not any longer a sinner saved by grace, but we're leaving that sin nature behind. We're leaving that life of Adam behind, and we are walking into the very life that Christ has ordained for us to live. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified, Paul said, right? Galatians 2:20. I'm saying that for Diana's sake. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching kind of fast, but Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. How many are exercising their faith? When you get down under that water, you're going to let it bathe you. You know, there's a washing that can take place. There's a releasing, and there's a coming up unto new life. Died with Christ, raised with Christ. Oh, what good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I think I might get baptized again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He died to make us live. He was made sin to make us righteous. He became weak to make us strong. He suffered shame to give us glory. He went to hell to take us to heaven. He was condemned in order to justify us. He was made sick that healing might be ours. He was cast out from the presence of God in order to make us welcome there. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, we are in union with Him. Hallelujah. It's one of the greatest truths that God has given us to make us one with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. Woo! Even if I'm not getting baptized, I'm going to cheer everybody else on. Who's going to help us? Amen. Bring a lunch Sunday afternoon. We're going to be out at Michelle's house. Bring a chair. Bring a sack lunch. Let's have something to eat. And then we're all going to get ready, hallelujah, and we're going to baptize some people. We'll just pray over that water. It'll be sanctified. It'll be ready to go, hallelujah. It already is. It's at Michelle's house. She's born again, so hallelujah. That water's set apart for that day for some baptism, hallelujah. So stick around and cheer some people on as we let some things go. We let the enemy's work be drowned, amen. Woo! All the evil that may be surrounding you, let it go. His attacks have to stop. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That'd be wonderful. I want to see that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get in that, whatever that place is that you can look and see into the past, which is really probably be the present. I don't know. We'll be in a different realm. We'll look down. I want to see that. All those chariot wheels came off. All those people, they couldn't get out of there. They begin to get stuck. The waters begin to come back and just flooded them out. Glory to God. Oh, what a good God we serve. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth of baptism. And Father, when we are baptized, Lord, this Sunday, I thank You that we will see people delivered, set free. Their hearts will be changed to be, Lord, where there's been, you know, a stoniness, or we've had walls of defenses up, may they come down, Lord. May a heart be pure and soft before you, Lord. Oh, Father, we're praying for freedom. We believe, Father, that when we go down, we're going to see ourselves dying with Christ and coming up into that newness of life. And we want to just thank you, Father. There'll be some that'll leave some sickness down there. There's going to be people that are going to leave that, whatever it is, that's their bondage down there, Father. Their mental torment down there, Father. Whatever's bothering them, Father. Maybe they're hooked on something, or whatever it is, there, maybe it's going to be that they're going to leave their Facebook down there, bless God, and shut it off. Because it's bothering them. You know, amen, amen, hallelujah. You know, it could be anything, Father. We thank you and we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. Bless those that are here tonight as we travel home. We thank you for safety, for angels, Lord, and that you'll help us, Holy Spirit, to think about what's going on and to think about baptism, that we are baptized into Jesus Christ and we are raised to the newness of life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.